Hallelujah. Amen. So we're here for another workers in training convention. You know, God works through meetings. And we must be very careful not to get used to church services. And the spirit of familiarity will come where you just, oh, Sunday service, well, we'll just be there. And that may be a very wrong attitude. It is a wrong attitude. I'm not just talking about this convention. If you know God walks through meetings, you know that's how he works. He uses meetings a lot. He calls people to places. And if you know that, then you take it seriously. And I said not just the convention like this, but just every meeting. Who would have thought that Paul would have God's Spirit confirm what he spoke to him in Acts 9 about in Acts 13? It looked like a regular meeting. It was a church in Antioch. Seven prophets and teachers. You find Paul called Saul there and Barnabas. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, in verse 2, he says, the Holy Ghost says, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work I've called them. I'm pretty sure it wasn't the intention of that meeting. But you see, when you come for meetings, particularly meetings where there is the manifestation of the Spirit received, I mean by that the demonstration of the Holy Ghost, and the preachers yield to the Spirit, as we do here, then you should know that God will use such meetings. You know, people like Kenneth Hagin, Brother Hagin, the pastor of Pastor Hagin, or the father, sorry, of Pastor Hagin, you know, did bring something our way years back in his book, a book I endeavor to read often, Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits, where he said that we must hold meetings according to God's plan. What is plan? Why does he want us to have prayer meetings? You know, it's important. And so we came up with the different kinds of meetings. There are different kinds of meetings. And each meeting has its own rules, as it were, principles. We have the teaching services, where primarily what we do is to study the Word of God together. And we get to study the Word of God together. Just like Jesus will have time like that in Matthew's Gospel chapter 5, verse 1 to 3, where scriptures teach that he began to teach. And if you look at the way Matthew arranged it, up till Matthew 7, verse 28 and 29, where the acknowledge is teaching, the mode of explanation. You notice that meeting, he went through different issues. The traditions, prayer, you know, walking in love, walking in the Spirit, covetousness, fear, anxiety. Quite a number of things were taken together in that, you know, and let me say something. And that shows you that sometimes in Bible study, as we teach the Word of God, now I usually tell people that I love to teach subjects, okay, which is lovely. But if you notice very well, in many subjects that I teach, and we teach in this ministry, we get to also touch other areas. Because the wisdom of God is that way. The Word of God is not a subject. It's life. So when we begin to study, like Jesus did that, he touched a whole number of things. In that Matthew 5, even though I might have to agree that that's Matthew's literal device of putting many things together in one place, but it showed the teaching ministry of Jesus. So in a teaching ministry meeting like that, you know, we get to go around the Word of God. Study the scriptures. You know, Jesus went from Moses to Isaiah to the psalmist. He went to the prophets. He went to different parts of scripture. Another kind of meeting like that is Luke 24. And verse 25 to 27. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Luke 24 and 27. Also verse 44. So these are the words which I spake to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Luke 24, 44, concerning me. But 45 says, then he opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. So we do have meetings that we teach, which is a very primary meeting in the body of Christ, because teaching is how we get the information of other activities. You know, Jesus spent that time teaching. They knew him a lot for his doctrine. His doctrine was a major thing they knew him for, what he taught. You know, he had the miracle signs and wonders, but they knew for his doctrine. And notice also the apostles, when you get to the book of Acts, as they got the new converts in Acts 2:41, about 3,000 of them, verse 42 says that the new converts continue steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. And that's important, the doctrine. So by chapter 5, verse 28, what were they accused of? They said, you have filled Jerusalem with this, your teaching. Your teaching. And it's your doctrine. And verse 42 says that they did not cease to preach the Lord Jesus Christ from house to house and also in the temple. So there's a deliberate, it must be deliberate to hold teaching meetings. So I believe that it's obvious that because of that emphasis, Sunday services are usually, you know, sort of teaching meetings. So from there we have the prayer meetings. Now in teaching meetings we teach. You have your Bibles, you have your writing materials, and if you know a material your pastor refers to, for example, I get to refer to the Septuagint Bible sometimes. You have it with you, and sometimes you go to the study. You can have things like Strong's exhaustive concordance. You can have them. That may be too big for your dress code. You want to look so nice. And so what's in your eyes? The concordance. Yeah, what's that? I think we have that on the phones now, so you can use it. So you have that in your study. So we have prayer meetings. In prayer meetings, what we do is to pray. What we do is to pray. And the primary reason why we pray at all is to align ourselves with God's will concerning our lives, the lives of others, and the earth. I'll take that again. Why do we pray? To align ourselves with God's will concerning our lives, the lives of others, and the earth. That's why we pray. So when I'm going for a prayer meeting, the first thing on my mind is the will of God. It's the will of God. I'm going to engage the will of God. That's why you find out that Paul, in the epistles, said, this is why I pray for you. Look at all the Pauline prayers. Whereas in Romans 15, I think that's 19 and 20, and you read Ephesians 1, verse 16 to 23, Ephesians 3, verse 20 to 20, I mean, verse 14 to 21, and then you have Philippians 1, verse 9 to 11, Colossians 1, verse 9 to 11, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. It's about the will of God. Now, do we individually have needs? Yes. And that also is taken care of. But what is of primary importance is what is collective to us, what unites us together. The will of God for our lives, the lives of others, and the earth. So that is a prayer meeting. Now, a prayer meeting is so important that, apart from the fact that Jesus trained his disciples in how to pray, which he did. He took them out to pray. Matthew 17, 1, Matthew 26. He took them to pray. In fact, Matthew 26, 41, he told them, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Pray that you don't enter temptation. Matthew 26, 41. Upon the resurrection, when he gave them the great commission, the first thing the people were seen to do, Acts 1, 14 and 15, was that they continued in prayer. It's no doubt that the day of Pentecost, it was a prayer meeting. Because the same word, one accord, was used in Acts 2, 1 to 4. And they continued Acts 2:42 in prayers. Acts 3:1, Peter and John went to the temple in the hour prayer. So they had prayer days, prayer meetings, prayer times. Acts 4, the moment they were threatened by the apostle, by the elders, what did they do? Acts 4, 22, 23, 24, they raised up their voice in one accord, 23, 24, and said, "Oh Lord, by the mouth of your servant, you made heaven and earth by the hand of my servant David, you have said," so they prayed, and you see that consistent in the book of Acts. So a prayer meeting, right, is a meeting that we must hold, we must deliberately hold, because God, you can see it in the pattern of scripture, that it's instructed to pray. So when you see the epistles talk about praying always, Ephesians 6:18, there's personal prayer there, but it's more of the collective time of prayer, praying always. Well, you see Colossians 4, 2 and 3, it's collective. We pray always. We have prayer meetings a lot. So we have the prayer meetings. So third kind of meetings we hold, we have what we call evangelistic meetings. I like to call them outreach meetings, where we reach out to the unsaved. Now, usually, that is not done in the church meetings, okay? We go out, Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, you wonder, how is that a meeting when it is not held within the confines of church services? Don't forget, Matthew 18, verse 20, Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." So when you take the gospel to someone, it's a gathering in his name. And he says, "Is that there?" So when you go to preach the gospel, either to one person or more than one person, what you have is an outreach meeting. You are taking out or carrying out the Mark 16:15 instruction, the Luke 24:47 instruction, even the Matthew 28 and verse 19 instruction. You are carrying out the John 20 and 23 instruction, Acts 1:8 instruction, and that is a meeting. That's number three. Number four, we also can have healing meetings. In healing meetings, usually it occurs together with either the prayer meetings. Why? Just like James 5. James 5 says, "Is there any afflicted? Let him pray. Is there any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church." Verse 14, "So they will pray over him in the name of the Lord. Anoint him with oil and will pray over him, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick." So, which means that I can go to someone to pray for and pray with, okay? So, as I pray, I'm also praying to receive healing. So, the healing meeting can occur with the teaching meeting, Luke 5:17. As Jesus was teaching, the power of the Lord was present to heal. So, it can occur with the teaching meeting, can occur with the prayer meeting, right? It can also occur, definitely, with the outreach meeting. Acts 2:43, there were signs and wonders as the apostles preached the gospel. We can go on and on. Acts 3, at the beautiful gate. The miracles, the healing of the paralyzed man in Acts 3. From verse 2 down to verse 6, we also have the different instances where you find that as the gospel is preached, Mark 16, "These signs shall follow them that believe." Mark 16:17. "In my name they shall cast out demons, shall speak with new tongues." So that happens. Also, we have what you can call the Holy Ghost meetings or believers meetings, which can also occur, right? So pay attention to this. So the teaching meeting and the prayer meeting, all right, are very primary meetings, and they can have the other meetings occur with them. For example, when we have church services, we have teaching meeting, we have a prayer service. I'm sure you attend that. That's the first 30 minutes, 30 minutes of church, 30 minutes, 1 hour of the service. It's a prayer service of the church service. Then we have the teaching part of the service. That's important, for example, that when you hold meetings like that, you don't minor on the major things and major on the minor things. That is why you won't see us take a longer time in singing than teaching, or take a longer time in announcements. When you see somebody taking an announcement more than the teaching, it's not Saints Community Church. Check. The S is not there. Ain't Community Church. That's it. So that's the church. That's not where you are. So, it occurs with it, right? So now we have the Holy Ghost meeting, which occurs with the prayer meeting, can occur with the teaching meeting. Just Acts 2:1-4. "Now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven," verse 2, "as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were seated. And there appeared to them," verse 3, "cloven tongues as a fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So you see that from a prayer meeting, we had a Holy Ghost meeting. What was a Holy Ghost meeting? The Holy Ghost meeting is where we give room in the gathering of believers for a demonstration of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Where the believers in the meeting, the gathering, where they participate in edifying other believers and also receiving from other believers. We have that kind of meeting, Acts 2, I mentioned that. The one we just read in Acts 13, 1 and 2 was a kind of meeting like that, where you find, as it were, the flow of the Spirit. Even the prayer meeting of Acts 4, remember? Luke records that the place where they prayed was shaken. Acts 4, 30, 31 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke the word of God with boldness. So we have both the prayer meeting and the flow of the Spirit occurring together. In 1 Corinthians 14, for example, and verse 26, Paul says, I say, brethren, when you come together, and every one of you has a psalm, has a tongue, has a revelation, has a doctrine, has an interpretation, he says, let all things be done unto edifying. So that means that we have meetings like that, we come together, and everyone participates. For example, in Acts 2, 1 to 4, it says they were all filled. So in such meetings, you will have sometimes the leaders minister, and then you have everybody as well minister. So you have such Holy Ghost meeting. Now, another kind of meeting which we're going to focus on now is what you can call the workers' meetings. The workers' meetings. The workers. Now, why did I call it work? I would have said ministers' meeting. But I said workers' meeting because I'm the pastor here of Saints Community Church, so I want to use our own nomenclature. Now, the workers' meeting is a meeting that is special. As you have observed, all the meetings have a purpose. So the purpose of a workers' meeting will be how to serve the body of Christ. How to serve or serving the body of Christ. A workers' meeting is serving the body of Christ. Call it a minister's meeting. So this kind of assembly tonight and through Saturday morning is a minister's meeting. Now, Jesus held such meetings. But before we get to Jesus, in Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 21, yeah, you find, chapter 11, sorry, you find Moses, you know, he intercedes the Lord and he says, look, this burden is heavy. It's heavy for me. And notice that was something in Exodus that his father-in-law by the name of Jethro, Exodus 18, where he came to him and he found him alone, teaching from morning till evening. And then Jethro said, what you're doing is not good. You will wear yourself away and those that are with you. Said, I give you counsel and God be with you. He said, find from amongst these people. All right? He said, number one, you should teach them how to walk with God and how to walk for God. All right? And then he says, find from yourselves, amongst you, leaders. Provide elders of the people, right? Who shall be their leaders? Men who live right, men who are honest, men who don't have covetousness. He said, and then put them over 50, 100, thousands. He says that then the bigger causes, let them bring to you. He says, you will stand in gap and pray for them, all right, and take their causes to God. So he broke it down. Now, eventually in Numbers 11, Moses now goes to the Lord and he says, look, I myself am fed up. I think, now there's a thinking, which I might not, is just a proposal. By Numbers 11, Moses shares what's on him with 70 elders. By Numbers 12, Miriam and Aaron became somehow edgy about him. So it's like, you know, you're sharing the stage with other people. It might be, no, it might not be. So you have in Numbers 11 where he shares the burden with people. And then notice the people that were in the tabernacle, they were just those people that he chose, the elders. Just those ones alone. Now, in a congregation of arguably hundreds of thousands, he separates just 70. Only 70 were in that tabernacle. Now, that's just amongst many other times you see a select people for the sake of service and work are found in a meeting. Now, if you look at the four Gospels, you see Jesus also, separating the people. You'll have the multitude come to him. He'll preach and teach the multitude, okay? Then he will now separate his own disciples. Among his own disciples, he will separate the 12. Among the 12, he'll separate 3. Now, why is he doing that? Because they have a special purpose. Right? It doesn't make them special, as it were. You know, let me take that back. It doesn't make them any other, I mean, whatever is making, whatever that was about is because of the tasks that they have to do. So he separates them. And many times you see people hardly know why they are put into those meetings until later on. So you find Peter, James, and John. He took them to pray. Acts 17, they slept off. You know, I mean, Matthew 17, 1, they slept off. You know, he took them again in Matthew 26 to pray. They still slept. So he kept giving them that discipline and that training. And that's why we changed our nomenclature from workers to workers in training. Because being a worker is not a status that you carry on your head. It's not a badge. It's something that is an ongoing thing. To walk in the work of the ministry requires training. So let's get to that later on. So you have such meetings. He will call them apart. You know, they had places where they used to hold their meetings such that they needed a spy in Judas to let them, to let the soldiers know where Jesus was. So they had such meetings. When he rose from the dead again, he appeared to them alone. And he was with them for 40 days alone. He didn't appear to the whole world. He only appeared to them. We have that pattern contained in the book of Acts, where you just have, you know, the disciples, then you have the elders, Acts 15, the elders and the apostles and the elders alone in such meetings. So you have meetings that are for ministers alone, those who serve. Now, observe again that the epistles have letters written only to leaders, only. One of them is 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, which is the context of it too, is a leader, a pastor. Then you also have Titus. And not just Titus, you also discover that in all the epistles, there were segments of the letters that cannot be applicable to everybody. Where he says, charge the elders and charge the leaders. Where he speaks only to those who, Hebrews 13, for example, that of Hebrews, verse 7. And then verse 17, where the instructions are for those who are members to the leaders. Then 1 Peter 5, where Peter talks to the elders, verse 1 to 4 and 5. So you have such parts of those letters that are to leaders alone. Now, there are letters that are solely also for leaders. 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus as well. Then you also have Philemon. Philemon was a leader of the church. So it's to him. All right. Then you have 2 John. Alright, which is to the elect lady, that the ruling lady, pastor lady. Then 3 John seemed to also be like that, because Gaius was also an elder. And also you see the letters to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, to the angel of the churches, write this. So you find such statements directed at leaders, showing you that there is such an attention given to ministers. And of course, in that instance, leading ministers, serving leading ministers. And so we also have workers. Now we call it workers, but really it's ministers, those who minister in the church. Are you here? Uh-huh. So this is the kind of meeting that it is. Now, why do I have to reemphasize this? Let me say something to you. You see, when it comes to the kingdom of God and the things of God, your understanding is very important. You must have the understanding. There's a way you must understand. A meeting like this, there are things we won't expect to happen. We won't expect it to happen. You know, if it's camp meeting now, camp meeting has other believers, those who are your disciples that you are praying over. Amen. That you are visiting and trusting God for them. Some of them, you look at them and say, hey, grow now. You bring them to camp meeting. But those are not the kind of people in here. So there are some assumptions we are going to have, which is that, okay, you have level of information and understanding. So there's the understanding. There's an understanding. Understanding comes with maturity, exposure, and perception. You're mature, you're exposed, and you can see things better. So now why do I go over this again and again? So you have the understanding. I said something in church in one of these services, and I said that if we're not careful, we will give the Bible new definitions. There are things we're going to redefine and redefine them. And you see, I mean, just like church, you know, when we're talking about church, you know, somebody even spoke to me, it was yesterday, and said that, is it that a church cannot do anything online at all? I said, well, I tried to explain to the guys. I said, you know, because what about the online church? I said, I see your point. I said, it's not my point, it's Bible point. Stop seeing my point. I don't think that I just came up with something in my head. No, no, no. I also would like to sit in my room and preach in my bedroom and minister to the body of Christ and just see, just boost the numbers. And, you know, I talk to the IT guys, they can boost our audience. And before I know it, I'm speaking to somebody in mass. You know, but that's not it. I said, the truth is that the idea of God's church is that believers mingle, interact, physically meet, and also have, you know, as it were, literal manifestations and impartations of the Spirit. So that's critical. And it's not just by laying on hands. A lot of things happen when we come together. The guy, I was called up to say something at the Rema conference in Lagos on Friday. So he saw what I said about believers gathering together has the greatest depth of God's glory. So he said, I can see your point, but you know, ask the question about the online. I said, well, the truth is that in case you like to always hear your pastor, I said, it's fine. What you need to do is this. I said, put a screen. If you can afford it, you can also use your phone screen. Put it in the middle. The pastor is talking to all of you. He said, is that fair? I said, wait a minute, let me finish. You want to hear the word? He said, yes. I said, you are hearing the word, but you have not had church yet. I said, what else is left? I said, it is that gathering that is watching the pastor that is the church. He said, oh, ensure also that before you leave, you pray together, you interact, you serve one another. Oh, he said, now I see your point. I said, but then I believe with time, the pastor will not need to show up on the screen. Those of you who have been praying, your prayer should have been answered. Because you should be praying about growing up spiritually. So that you can, you know, if Jesus did not say, don't worry, just gather, I'll show up and keep teaching. And you know you can do that. You can just come and keep teaching. He discipled people who trained others. That's why we're all here today. You could have just appeared somewhere and said, okay, anytime you come together, open your eyes. He said, yes, yeah. And he says, you've heard it has been said by them of old. Now I say unto you. And we are hearing from Jesus. I say, that's not the point. Then we must treasure, you know, discipleship, you know, physical interactions of believers and all that. So that understanding is important. You can't afford to not have the right understanding. Why do we come together? Why do we pray? Because after a while, you'll just be used to a routine of those things and almost lack the understanding. So I try to repeat it again and again, again and again. Just like tonight, just before we leave, I'll just start sharing some basics. Reverend Yukao just told us this in 1994, at Grace Family Church Convention, since 1994 or 1995, we said, the most important things in Christianity are the basic things. Just know the basic things. The basic things. You know. And so, when we come together for a convention like this, it's a minister's convention. It's a minister's meeting. This gathering, for example, that person's phone going off, I don't expect that to happen here, right? It's expected that everybody here, they don't require, please switch off your phones on the screen. You are well trained, you are well taught, you won't have your phones on. You know, those are basic things that is expected that you have. Are you here? Are you all here? All right, so it's expected that you have that. So in this kind of convention, what you want to receive is about how to serve the body of Christ. How to bless humanity. How to serve the body of Christ. And I found something simple. I put out something this evening from Oswald J. Smith. Yeah. And he said that the only effective way to love others is to love Jesus. That when you see people feeling that, you know, there are people like that, you know, And when maybe Brogidi says you should come for prayer meeting and go and see that brother, he hasn't been to church. And then Pastor Jake says you need to go and check up that person, we need to give. And sometimes they'll start feeling like they are stressing them. The reason why people think that way is because they really are not serving Jesus. You see, if you are serving Jesus, you won't see those people do anything wrong to you. Even if the person, as it were, is not being nice and all that. No. Because you know that you are serving Christ. So, to effectively serve the body of Christ, to effectively love the body of Christ, to effectively serve humanity, the first picture in your mind will be to serve Jesus. And that's what John said. John said, look, if you don't love the people that you see, how would you love God that you cannot see? He equated it in 1 John 3:16, how we perceive the love of God, that he laid down his life for us. He said we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. When they asked him in Matthew 22, verse 36, they said, what is the great commandment of the law? From 35, the guy came, what's the greatest one? The guy asked him for one, single one. What's the greatest? He said, hear, O Israel, Mark 12:31, 29:31. He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. He said, one Lord. He said, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, might, and soul. You say, wow, that's it. He said, there is a second one. The guy asked for one. You know, it's very easy to say, well, bro, you, I love God. I love you, I love you. And people say it a lot. They say, I have a relationship with God. And they say it over, it's good. Me and God, we're 5 and 6. We are this and that. And we and say, and then, you know, Jesus said, there's a second one. He said the second is like the first one. That means that he's not saying number two, that this is the number one, that this is secondary. He said it's like the first one. So which means that the fruit of the first one is the second one. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. He said upon these two, remember the guy said one, he said upon these two hangs the entire law and the prophets. So if a person truly loves God, you will see how he loves men. If he's serving God, the expression of it is with men. So in a convention like this, you are learning to serve men so that you will serve God. Or the other way around, you are learning to serve God so that you will serve men. That's together. When I say men, it's not male. Before the brother say, you see, you have to serve me. Every time you say man, people think it's male. It's Adama, Adam. Adam is humanity. So you learn to serve. That's why we are in the convention like this. So your mind should be how to learn. I mean, learning to serve others. I like that phrase, learning to serve. That's the motto of Government College, by the way. You can see, it even flows with the word. You learn to serve. That's why you are here. That's why you are here. You are learning to serve. So everything will find its fruit in serving. In serving. Serving the body of Christ and humanity. Or serving through the body of Christ. That's why you are here. So that understanding is very important. Now, I did share something with you last week, you must have observed it. And I said that, when I talk about understanding, I said, you know, there's a way we prepare for other meetings. And I mentioned that to us. When we have Christ Camp meeting, we talk about it, we publicize it, you know, we share about it. We have pre-camp meetings. People talk about Christ Camp meeting and all that. We have Believers Convention, times of refreshing. We have special meetings before it. We have WCCO, some people travel down to have it, you know, from different parts of the world, and we have that. Then we, you know, and we price them so much. And the reason why they are that special is because we made them so. That's all. And, You know, it appears like there are other meetings that they are good meetings, but we don't really talk about the Fortress Camp meeting. When the Fortress Camp meeting, somebody just says, okay. I had to tell the pastor, I said, during Fortress Camp meeting, you know, when we have camp meeting, there's no other service in church. Everybody's at camp meeting. When we have believers convention, that week we shut down, go for believers. When we have Fortress Camp meeting, meetings just go on normally. We, Pastor Wally and his gang, to go to wherever they are chosen. Then we, the VIPs, we show up on the last day. You know, that's when Pastor is coming, right? Okay, sorry. He's just coming, your guy. And all that. You know, it's carnality. That is dishonor. It's a lot of dishonor. You know. Meanwhile, you will have other people. I mean, I was at a wedding. I think it was the wedding that I did for someone in your church. Right? 2016. 16, yeah, good. So I was there. And some folks just walked up to me and they said to me, you know, I think Scott was there that day, Sheryl Scott. And the guy said, you know, I'm a missionary. And the guy said, I'm a pastor. And I said, I don't know. He said, I can't know, sir. I said, we are all Pastor Wiley's boys. I said, what do you mean? He said, we're Fortress. Pastor Wiley mentioned Pastor Funke too. And said, they're all Fortress people. I said, we're now, you know, and that's where, you know, they found the call of God. I said, we have other friends like that. I mean, if you want God to judge you, that's how he judges you. That's how God judges you. That. Can you hear? You know, you can't say you did not hear. You saw someone and said, this is the meeting where I received the call of God into my life. This is the meeting. And you have just told people, you were just shouting, sit down. Now for someone like me, I remember one time I went to Youth Foundation's camp and I saw the young people and I told someone, I said, do you know that this is how I was many years ago? And you'll have easily despised what we're doing. But those were the things that formed what we're now doing. I'm saying in other words that, you know, we have to place honor on what God has put his honor on. It's very clear. Are you following what I'm saying tonight? If God has put his honor somewhere, then you need to put honor there. You know, if God has placed his honor anywhere, put your honor there. Respond with honor. Fortress camp meeting, therefore. Now, I'm not saying you have to attend Fortress camp meeting. Come and eat their food. No. Before you say, that week. No. But, you know, even if you're not going to take leave of work, but at that point, but maybe every day you are praying about it. Maybe you ensure people get there. You know, you are just showing that attitude that it's a special meeting. You can get healed there. You can get taught there. You can get impartations of God's Spirit in the same meeting. So, it's about the kind of honor that we place on it. We must put honor on the workers' convention. We must put honor on church services. We must put honor on midweek meetings. We must put honor on workers' meetings. We must put honor there. Now, the degree of the honor we place there is the degree of the virtue and the demonstration of God's Spirit and his will that we're going to receive. It corresponds that way. So we must not despise. When you despise something, you don't have to, like Reverend McCankin said, he says dishonor sometimes is not in words. It's not even in what you do, it's in what you did not do. So it may not be that you say, oh, forget it. It's just the attitude about it. That we can even thinking about it. That we didn't even pray about it. You know, and look at something I want to show you. You know, in Nigeria today, and I was saying this to the pastors, we had this meeting and I told them, and we looked at the demography of Nigeria, and we found out that, I think it's 65%, am I correct? About, right? 65%. Yeah. That congregation, that number you think they're just small, they constitute the largest percentage in the country. Now look down the line, 5-10 years. In fact, what am I saying? 10 years, 5 years. You'll be shocked at what you despised. That means you had the chance to mold a generation, but you felt, I'm too busy for that. My own meeting is WCC. My own meeting is camp meeting. My own meeting. Then you now go to WCC to go and pray for the people you did not reach out to. 5 years after. Because you didn't put honor where God places honor. So you must learn to put honor. And that goes to, it goes to how you prepare, it goes to everything. I'm talking to pastors too. You see, how, any meeting at all, the way you rate it, you know, you're about to say, it is the weight of something that will determine how you will carry it. Now, if you see something is not really, if it's light, you just treat it like, but if it's something that is weighty, there's a way you would, you know, want to carry it. So that goes to meetings. So a workers' convention like this, we must put weight on it. What did I say? What is weight? Weight is honor. Is that clear? It must be weighty. The way we prepare, which we have done, the way we act in the meetings. Don't just want to sit in front during camp meeting. The workers are going to just stay at the back. That's an attitude. That means you think it's of a lesser importance. Right? You just... And imagine if you apply that principle to every service. Look at what Jacob said. Well, we'll have gone there tonight, but maybe tomorrow morning. We'll definitely go there tomorrow morning. And Jacob said, the Lord was here. I did not know. Now, that's as far as the ignorance should have gone. Then he now said, this is the house of God. It is the gate of heaven. And he didn't just mouth it. He now put oil there. Then he made a vow. Then in Genesis 31 and 13, he now said, I am the God of Bethel, where you are anointed. And that became a principle throughout scripture. Up to when Moses built, go on and on. When Moses built the tabernacle, the same thing was done. What is that supposed to be? You are treating it as sacred. That was all. You did not know. Now you know. As sacred. As, this is a sacred thing. It's a weighty matter. And that is what this convention is about. It's a minister's convention. Where we learn how to serve the body of Christ. To serve God. And serve God to serve the body of Christ. We must know that. It must dawn on our minds. It must. It's, like I said, you know, it's about the kind of attitude we push towards it. You know, someone was talking to me, and he said this, was 2-3 weeks ago, so he saw something I put out. So now said, were you at that meeting in 94? I said I was there. He said, I said, are you forgetting that? I said, I didn't forget it. I said, because then, I had this very funny attitude. Whenever I used to stay in Ibadan, so when I come back to Lagos, there's this place, you know this place at this, Ilupeju, when you come down Anthony, that near the LSDPC, I think it has a GT bank now, near the bridge. They used to paste a lot of posters, like, can you remember that place? That Ilupeju, when you come, you want to enter the town planning way, there's this, the fence, like a wall. They used to put a lot of posters there. So that poster, that person should be like, where you want to know the latest meetings in Lagos, you find it there. So I'll take a bus there to just go and see, what am I attending this week? So I used to really be very hungry, of course. That hunger can get into trouble too. You know, so I just heard something on radio. I heard Reverend Joseph Adigwe, I said, where? He said, this is for God. He said, it's by invitation, special invitation. I didn't even hear that part. So I just made up my, put the date down, pam, 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 pam. I was off. Good enough. I think it was the week I was ordained. Yeah. By the African Immigration Mission, I was ordained the week. Yeah, it was that week. So my heart was really after the meeting. So when I got to the place, I had saved up, I was fasting, you know. So when that guy said that he can't even remember the meeting, I said, how would I forget? Something that I was fasting to, something that I longed for. When I got there, the guy said, what am I doing there? Where's my senior pastor? I said, which senior pastor? He said, what are you doing here? I said, I'm here for the... He said, no, that this is for senior ministers. You know that. I said, I have to attend this one. The guy said, no. He said, you know. I said, please, I'm begging you in the name of God, I beat you. I came from the country. I said, I've been fasting. He was looking at me. He said, please, don't get me into trouble. I said, I can't get you into trouble. He said, don't make noise. No, I said, I won't make noise. Don't worry. So he said, okay, so I went in. So I'm sure even I looked at me, I came with a man of God. Maybe I came with somebody. And I just entered. You know, if I was there now, I was not chewing gum. You're like, no, this one. Or I was getting up 4 or 5 times, going to the restroom. You will have noticed me. Let's go. Or I came with a bottle of Sprite. biscuits. No! Sprite. You know, they will have known that this one is not part of us. So the way I behaved, you know, I thought I was a PA to one general overseer. You know? So I just stayed there. And there I was. About 6-7 hours. I was just there. I didn't leave at all. Because if I go out, those are not your wee. I come and say, stop! God had helped you with the first person. Yeah, like, there's a stop there! What are you doing here? I said, go and read your books. Or something like that. So I just stayed there and no wee. I just stayed there 2 hours. That's when you take water. You're not tempted to go and wee. I stayed there. But the second day, the man of structure was preaching. I was preaching. He just pointed out to me. I was the youngest. And he began to prophesy. And that was his last time in Nigeria. I believe I was the last person to prophesy over. And he left. Why was it like that? The guy didn't remember the meeting. I can't forget the meeting. Because I prepared for it. I treated it as sacred. And imagine if we apply that principle to every meeting, and particularly special meetings like this convention. Are you here? So we're going to open our hearts, amen? To learn, to receive. And you see, don't just see meetings for learning the teaching of the word. They are impartations of God's Spirit. Impartations happen by laying on of hands. They happen in atmospheres. They happen by instructions. There are times that things are imparted because you heard. Impartations happen by laying on of hands. They happen by just being in the atmosphere. And also instructions. So don't think, okay, the group meetings and all that. You know, I just say, and that's all to it. Brother Higgins said a story. He said there was something he had been believing God to know for 25 years. He said, it was just one meeting. He said, more than 25 years. He said, that's how somebody was. Just speak. You know, those kind of things, and it can change your entire life and ministry. Because you paid attention. So, place honor on every session. Don't go to the rooms, whether it's private or the hostels or in the car, then you now do side talks. You see, those are kind of things that cut you off. You know, I know that when it comes to, write this down, when it comes to the things of God, attitude is everything. Attitude is everything. I was talking to somebody and I said, for example, it's not every test that is the devil. There are some tests that came from God. Yeah. And you go like, you know, you just feel like, I mean, you see a God. God is going to raise, look at the people he raised. He raised a Samuel in the house of Eli. That's odd. And look at through whom he raised him, Eli. And that system is consistent. And you find, okay, somebody says something, and you know, get upset, and you just say something. Now, the person may be wrong, and the person says something, you know, and all that. Look at Miriam and Aaron. Just saying something they shouldn't have said. And that was, yeah, we didn't hear about them again. And you say, well, just something. I said, look, get into the flesh. Let's assume the person talking to you did not say the way you wanted it. There is a test of your character. You are not looking at someone's attitude now. Your own is to have the right attitude. If many of us focus on our lives, we don't be looking at other people. See, it's my own attitude that's important. Okay? See, maybe you get into offense, and then you are saying, he should have known now. You're off. Do you know that till tomorrow, Eli didn't apologize to Anna? Ah, sorry, I made him. He didn't say anything. He just said, go. He didn't say, I'm so sorry. She has said, he didn't even say sorry. Leave that one to God. So, Your attitude is very important. And I'm not sure about this conversation, but generally, your attitude is very important. The kind of attitude with which you serve. You know, attitude can make God replace someone. Attitude. Pride, for example. This one is proud. Pride. Sometimes the reason why we don't take some instructions is because of the person saying it. Say, so you're pride. I think I'm, you know, and then you're off. So have the right attitude. In all the sessions, in all the meetings, have the right attitude. Receive. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That statement is, have the attitude of a newborn babe. It's not to new converts. As newborn babes, act like a newborn babe. Jesus said in Matthew 11:25-26, he said he has hidden the things of the kingdom from the wise and the prudent. He revealed them only to babes. That shows you the attitude is important. You have an attitude, you just, you know, and some people don't know that that's how they'll build up till you get into trouble. I keep talking about this guy, and we're just talking about ministry. And he started talking. Ah, this was 1998, 25 years ago. And the guy was, it's 1907, one of his years, I think it is. And the guy was talking and talking, and somehow because he was respected in Bible teaching, so he was talking anyhow. Man, I kept quiet. And for me, I was also very, very hackious. I'm using this word. There's a level of my own hack, you know. I have brain. So when he kept talking, he called everybody names, different preachers and all that. If I called, I can't even repeat what he said here. So I went leaving his room. And then his house, the brother said, what do you think about that guy? I said, he won't end up in the ministry. He said, ah! What did you mean? I said, no, it's not easy, difficult to see, no. You can't talk like that. You are setting yourself up. And what you have done. You know, and the thing he was talking about, the people he was talking about, their doctrinal issues were really faulty. But there's a way to talk about it. That you are not really talking about the doctrine anymore. You are now prideful. I'll share this, you know, before I go. You know, one time like that, a man that we respected offended us, as it were. And so when we left the meeting, we were really offended because it was a real offense. I won't repeat what it is. You know, some of the leaders know what I'm talking about. It was a real offense, you know, in the flesh. We went back in the bus, we're talking, blah, blah, blah. We got back to the room, we talked and talked and talked. But somehow, in the midst of it, I just knew that this is really wrong. I just couldn't sleep. It was 1994. I think in December. I just couldn't sleep. Early morning, about 5 a.m., I left the place, went to the man's house. And I said, sir. I didn't go and report the others, so. No. Report your own sin. Don't help people confess their sin. Don't say, we, there's no we, say your own. Aha. So I just went and I said this. I shouldn't have said it. It wasn't there. I said, I want you to just pray for me. And he did. I left the place. And that was it. Because you look at the future. You don't want to set yourself up. Are you here? So I treat with honor the things of God. Okay? Is that clear? So in a workers' convention like this, I take things with sacredness. Let me finish with this, you know. Ensure you don't have friends. You see, another thing is this. Some of us, I'll close here. Some of us were not here, but by times you can have a good heart, you know. But when you keep around you people that gradually the way they talk down on the things of God, you have to listen very well. You listen very well. For example, I listen to people. When I notice that they are negative, I warn them. If I warn you a few times and you don't listen, the next thing is my action. It's rot. It's rot of me. My absence. You just see my absence. I won't warn you again because I'll just see this is a culture. If I see that you talk down on the things of God,
I'll say to you, hey, stop. Now, the reason why I will stay off you is because, see, I don't know when I'll also be weak and I'll believe it. So I'll prepare for the day of my weakness. So no idiots will be around me. So I just go. Don't come around me. I need people that will stay in faith, for example, and believe God with me. So, God, I know sometimes I may just be playing around fear and unbelief and doubt. But if I have people around me already who are full of faith, it's easier for me to stay in faith. So you keep such people off. Hey, talk down the things of God. Not you. You're joking with tongues, joking with casting out of the devil. I won't say, stop it. I told one sister years ago, I said, the way you are going, I said, with the kind of manifestation of God's will you've seen, I said, the way you are going, I said, you will soon turn your back. She said, never. She said, never. She's older than I was, so I didn't argue. So I said, okay, never. Peter said more than that. He said, never. Lord, I will not do it. It was that same day. I said, I've heard you, but I've warned you. This guy you are going out with, you are still going out. If he takes you out, you have gone. I didn't say it like that because she was older. Eventually, she talked down, speaking in tongues, the things of God. She talked down on being called to the ministry. She now said one day that she believes that real ministry is in the commercial world. I said, you are bringing it down small. You are not there yet. Eventually, you know, she's out of the ministry. Now, this is about 20-something years. She's out of the ministry. Because she didn't watch it. You have to take care of it. Don't hang around people that talk down the thing. Like, forget that one. Hey, don't say that here again. Amen. You learn something tonight? So every meeting, put honor on it. Every meeting. Put the kind of honor. Honor comes in your punctuality, right? Punctuality, your attitude. Your attitude. Some of us would behave ourselves when we are before dignitaries. Maybe the president of Nigeria comes to you, behave yourself. You say, someone's coming around here. His name is, is it Elon Musk now? You behave yourself because you think you will get something. You behave yourself. You wear your best dress. You sit down. Imagine if they said, they put you in front and Elon Musk is talking about opportunities and you start dozing. Even your enemies in your village will say, this is too far. You have gone too far. We are not the ones that did this one, though. That this one is not, oh, this is too wicked. This is the hand of a heavy, wicked one. Can you do that? You know. Now look at where you are. The greater than he is here. The Holy Ghost is here. They give the right respect. Imagine if they brought you to a meeting of maybe heads of states and presidents. You know? And they are giving the talk. They now get out to go and be wee-wee. See, where are you going? You say, they say, don't you know where you are? Oh yeah, chewing gum. You know, it's because you know where you are. You put respect there. If you get there on time, they say it's 9 o'clock. There's nobody when they come to visa interview, they'll stay over somewhere close by. It's 9 o'clock interview, by 4 a.m. they are there. All the photocopies are in one place. Inside one file. They say you should do 2 copies, you've done 20. In case one is not clear, I'll give you the second one. Anyone you're asking for, I'll give you another copy. They have everything. Birth certificate. They have their parents' marriage certificate. They have their father's degree certificate. They say, this certificate you are looking for, I'll give you a certificate today. They have different, everything, they are ready. And imagine if someone gets to the visa interview and they sat down to, you know, the queue and it dozes off. People people don't sleep there. A lot. Some people are praying. Some people, I know someone that wore their church garments there. It is my time. The document they ask for, you bring the one they don't ask for, the one you think they should ask for, you bring everything. You don't come to church casually. And what do you want to get out of it? When you are in a meeting like that, you behave yourself. You behave yourself. And this meeting is not just in this auditorium. It's in the hostels, the hotel rooms. It's everywhere. Is that clear? It's a workers in training convention. And we're here for the best times. Amen. Be blessed tonight. Stand to your feet. Let's just thank God for this meeting. And